What's going on, everyone? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Running a little late this evening. But we're going to have a good situation this evening. Let me turn my lights on. Hello, 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 everyone. Good evening. Welcome to the Sneaker Principle Podcast. Let's go ahead and set this up the right way. It is 10 o'clock, it is Friday night, and it's time for teacher therapy. As I turn some lights on in here. See right here, And what's going on here? There's always something. Here we go. For those of you wondering right now, this song is called Better by Simeo, Bellamy Simeo. It's an artist that I discovered on Artlist, which is a copy-free music service. So if you guys are content creators and looking for a good place to get music, incredible quality music, and let me go ahead and shut that down. And right now, all my tech is acting up. Here we go. So good evening, everyone. This is Uchain Joko. Welcome to the Sneaker Principle Podcast. And this evening is teacher therapy. And let me go ahead and set this up right here. Okay. I think we're on. So first things first, I'm going to check on my folks on LinkedIn here. And pop it on LinkedIn. Same thing with Facebook. And then I'm checking on to see right here. Are we set to go on YouTube? Where is my YouTube? Let me refresh that real quick. And yes, here we go. Here we go. That's YouTube right there. And Twitter is on as well. Make sure my audio there is turned off. Okay. So again, good evening, everyone. And how was your week? I'm going to start there. Hopefully you had a good week, a good Friday. And hopefully you have good things for this weekend to get into. My week was a good one. You know, a good one, busy one. But good nonetheless. I'm definitely settling into my new role, which is no longer really a new role. It's just the reality of my existence now that I'm post the school building. And those of you who know my story, 17 years in New York City school, with 1 year in Clark County Schools in Las Vegas, as a teacher, as a dean, as assistant principal. And then finally, the past 6 years as a principal of two schools, one in the Bronx and the other in Brooklyn. And this past summer, July 11th, I tendered my resignation as a high school principal. One of the scariest things I ever did. And no matter how much I want to say that, yeah, it was light work. It was not light work. It was definitely terrifying because, again, for the past 17 years of my adult life, the school building, kids, teachers, support staff, families is what I knew, or what I had grown to know very, very well, how to function in that space. And but the time came that I knew it. I just knew that it was time for me to transition to something else, And contrary to popular belief, I was not fired or pushed out. And it was just a moment of clarity that had been building upon itself for quite some time that just came into reality. And I was like, okay, what else is there for me to do outside of being tied into the identity of the principal? And that's what it became. The principalship became an identity for a lot of people. You know, our jobs, that thing that we do for a living, or that thing that we do very, very well, becomes the linchpin, the point of reference to who we are. And for a while it was good. It felt good to say I'm the principal. There's no denying it. I wanted it for such a long time. I mean, I went to Las Vegas seeking a principalship after I had been denied one in 2013 in the Bronx. So I was like, I'm going to go to Vegas. Got there and didn't happen. And I found myself back in New York again. And it was 2016 when I got the offer, which was, and I'll be honest with you, and I think that's all I can do these days is really be honest. It was a very lackluster, haphazard offer of a job. Like, hey, and at that moment in time, I knew that the belief was that I was the only option. And it was too tight of a window to find a candidate who could take over the school in that moment. And as a matter of fact, the offer wasn't even made to me first. It was made to someone else. But all love, you know, and I took that offer and I took a school that I was told was, you know, literally the worst middle school in the Bronx at the time, and turned it into a school that parents were literally kicking doors down to try to get their kid into that school, all within 2 years. And I loved it. I loved it. It's something to be said about walking down the street and people will say, hey, that's the principal. Or kids saying, that's my principal. Or parents saying, that's my principal. Not that's my child's principal, but that's the principal. That's the principal of that school. And to a certain extent, it is, I think, I don't know if the right phrasing would be, it is edifying of the ego. You know, it makes you feel as though you're important. And I think anyone who falls into leadership at some point in time has to contend with their ego. And I did. And when something that you do becomes part of your identity, it's very, very hard to exist without it. You know, you get to a point where you introduce yourself as, you know, as what you do rather than who you are. And I lived in that space. 3 years at the middle school, and I did really well there. And an opportunity came to go run the high school in Brooklyn. I took it, fell dead smack in the middle of a pandemic, and walked into a environment that had struggled with leadership over a number of years. And did the best that I could running a school virtually. You know, my son had just been born, and I wasn't willing to risk his health or anyone in my family's health during a pandemic. So I worked remotely, and then my last year there, I had one mission, and this is after seeing two classes graduate through pandemics. One class that didn't have a graduation, class of 2020, to this day, I feel so bad for them because they weren't even afforded the opportunity to have a face-to-face traditional graduation. It was done virtually, and they struggled through that. Then there was the following year where we had very limited, we were a small school to begin with, and we had to separate our graduation into a morning and afternoon graduation. And we did what we had to do there. And then the following year, we came back into the building. Even though it was kind of a stutter step, there were moments where we had to be quarantined and all that. But eventually, it became very clear we were back in the building. And this was this past school year. And what I did, what I needed to happen was to find a way to make up for all that happened with two previous classes, by no fault of their own. But I just felt like I had to make up for that. I had to set the school up for on a new path. And my mission was that every graduate and senior would have a letter of acceptance to at least one institution of higher learning. I didn't care whether it was a community college or public school, or private school, elite institution. It couldn't be, you know, a degree mill, you know, school. It had to be a proper institution where a student can go and advance their studies, trade schools included. And every single one of my graduate seniors got into a program. They got into a college, you know, and I was so proud of that. And that was my moment of stage exit. You know, was it stage exit left or right? No, I felt good at that moment, and I knew that I had done that final thing to set the standard for every class to come that came after that class. And here I am now, you know, no longer a principal. And yes, people still ask me, how come you still use the sneaker principal moniker? Because it was given to me. It was given to me by a friend of mine years ago. And after a while, it became something that, I mean, I've gone places in the educational space and people walked up to me and said, hey, you're that sneaker principal guy. And it's kind of cool, you know. But so I still use it. You know, I still use it. I will continue to use it, sneaker principal. But as far as my profession, my work, my daily work being a principal, you know, that is behind me now. You know, and the space that I live in now is really working to really stretch myself, stretch my identity, make sure that I'm providing some level of support for those that are coming behind me. Work-wise, I work for Practice Benefit Corporation, which is a social enterprise. It is a for-profit company, but with a heavy focus on providing for the social, for the needs of young people, you know, a socially conscious business that provides economic supports in schools, whether it's in the form of push-in supports, pull-out supports within the school building, or virtual tutoring, or virtual SAT prep, as a slew of customizable programs to provide to schools. And I went for that opportunity only because it still fed into who I am as an educator, you know. And in a few days, we'll mark 60 days since I've been with the company. And it's a time for me to reflect, because now it's like, wow, you know, I can't just say, well, last week I was the principal, or, you know, 2 weeks ago. Now it's almost 2 months. And you all know, within a school building, 2 months is like literally could feel like ages. So I'm definitely, you know, waking up every day now and less, you know, dealing with the anxiety of not being in the school building. And yes, there is anxiety. But it's been good. You know, it's been good. And I would say this, the past 60 days has been therapeutic in its own way. I know this is Teacher Therapy Fridays. And for those of you who listen for the first time, this is a space that welcomes people to call in. You know, on the screen right now, you're going to see that if you want to talk to me or even spark a conversation, just go to tinyurl.com/calltsp. So again, that's tinyurl.com/calltsp. This TSP stands for the sneaker principal. So call TSP, and you will literally ring into this podcast video wise. You can keep your camera off, which is completely fine with me. You can remain anonymous. Just don't type your name in. Oh, you're typing Jane Doe or John Doe or you know, anonymous in there, and you can jump on and have a conversation with me. You know, tell me what's going on with you. You know, what do you need therapy around as a educator? And it's not just for teachers; it's for anyone who's an educator. And I feel like I always have to reinforce the fact that it doesn't matter whether you are a dean, whether you are assistant principal or principal. If you are an administrator, you were once a teacher 99% of the time. The only instances where I've seen in public schools where the administrator was not a teacher is if they were a guidance counselor. And in my mind, a guidance counselor is a teacher. You know, you just teach from the positioning and the core content of, you know, emotional support, you know, and guidance. So in me naming Friday's teacher therapy, I'm talking about for all educators. So if you're interested in calling in, please feel free. And just know, because it's teacher therapy Friday, I'm going to ask you this simple question: how can I help you? You know, how can I help you? And hopefully we can have a conversation that's helpful to you. And if you're listening right now, you're like, man, there's somebody out there that I know who could benefit from being in the space. Please go ahead and, you know, call them, let them know they could jump on. And I'm 100%. I'm good with that. My goal is to create a space for educators who often find themselves whispering by the water fountain, you know, whispering in the teacher's lounge or behind closed doors, administrators as well, about the happenings in their environment, the things that they're not happy with, or even, you know, the struggles they're going through in their roles in the profession. And I want to provide that space for you to just, you know, share, talk it out, you know. And that's the thing. Often we don't talk it out. Some of the most dysfunctional spaces I've seen as an adult has been in spaces occupied by teachers, you know. And not to say teachers are dysfunctional. It's just the spaces are dysfunctional. No, because often when you become a teacher, you're not allowed to speak your mind, you know. And I believe that as long as professional, as long as we're being thoughtful, that we should be able to speak our minds. But often what happens in schools, you know, teachers are bullied, you know, they're intimidated to just being quiet. But what people don't understand, and often, I'm going to be honest with you, is the principal or administration who's doing that. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Have I ever done it? Not intentional, but I've had my moments where I was in my bag. And I had to reflect back on an incident and be like, whoa, yeah, I was out of pocket for that. I've never said anything that crazy like that, but there has been moments where maybe my affect, you know, the way I worded things, cut to the core, you know, and in the name of high expectations, but that wasn't right and wasn't proper. And whenever an administrator does stuff like that, I would say, in my experience, the majority of the time, I mean, and yes, there are outliers. There are some people out there, human beings, who just are jacked up. Nothing you can do about it. And they're jacked up teachers. They're jacked up administrators. They're jacked up superintendents. They're jacked up bus drivers. They're jacked up, you know, police officers. They're jacked up. They're just jacked up people out there, you know. But I would say the majority of administrators I've come across in my career who are very well-meaning, often when they find themselves in that position where they're not being their most authentic selves and they're coming off not in the best light, is because they've been hurt themselves. You know, people don't realize how often principals also are, you know, are just, you know, how do I put it? For lack of better terms, they're being shit on. I mean, you know, and they're being abused, you know, by the system, and they're being forced into these situations to meet expectations that often are so out of bounds and out of whack with reality of what can be done, you know, and they still push it and they still figure it out and they move kids forward. But while they're trying to meet numbers and move their school forward, that stress and anxiety that they're going through, they're being overwhelmed, manifests itself in ways sometimes that they're not the nicest or the most kind to their staff. And I don't know a single principal I've ever come across who's ever said to me, yeah, watch me demoralize and destroy this teacher. Never, you know. Just like I would even say, and I've never come across a superintendent who's been like, yeah, I'm going to go destroy this principal. It's a systemic issue. You know, when we have expectations that are set for schools that are often like, you know, might require some serious time and resources. When I talk about time, maybe 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years to reverse negative situations. But people are being told, listen, you got by the end of the school year, you got by December to move the needle. You know, that's a lot of stress. And that stress pours onto that stress on the shoulders of principals. It often will find itself being dripped onto the shoulders of assistant principals until it becomes like a broken faucet just gushing. And that spew hits teachers as well. And let's not forget that often the recipients at the back end of all this, at the bottom of all this, are students, you know, who are, you know, who often would tell you in their own way, hey, I don't like this teacher, Miss So-and-so, or Mr. So-and-so, because they're mean or they're mad disrespectful, you know. And then when you dig deeper into that teacher, you're going to hear them say the exact same thing about an administrator. And then when you dig into that administrator, you're going to hear often the same thing being said about the superintendent, you know, of the schools, of the district or school system. And then often when you talk to the superintendent, they're going to say the exact same thing about some superior that they have who they have to answer to, you know. And it just becomes dysfunctional. It becomes dysfunctional and just becomes a cycle. An incredible cycle of just pain and just suffering that often, you know, just keeps on happening over and over again. And before you know it, you know, we find ourselves with dysfunctional schools and dysfunctional students and angry parents and all these different things, you know. But that's why it's very important. Like I've been trying to say is to create spaces for us to talk about these things. You know, what is it that you're going through? You know, what was the worst part of your week? What was the best part of your week? You know, how's the school year been for you so far? How are you doing as a teacher, as an administrator? What is your mental health like? What is your physical well-being like? You know, do you wake up in the morning? First of all, do you get high levels of anxiety right before you go to bed, think about the next day, to the point that you can't sleep? You know, have you ever done that? Have you ever been in a situation where you are literally, you know, in bed trying, you're exhausted trying to get some sleep, but your brain is going and you're thinking about all the things you got to deal with or some kind of situation that's happening that you know is going to be a hot mess the next day. And for that reason, and for whatever reason, you just can't sleep. Have you ever had that? Or do you experience that right now? I've been there. No, somebody told me it's called the Sunday jitters. You know, Sunday night. You know, it doesn't start Sunday night. It actually starts like Saturday night. As the day is winding down, you're like, okay, tomorrow's Sunday. Ugh. Sunday is not just Sunday, it's Monday Eve. So Monday Eve is coming, and then you start to think about all the things. And then Monday Eve or Sunday, aka Sunday, comes. Maybe you went to church, or you slept in and went to go work. Whatever it is you do on Sunday mornings, but it's a point in time on Sunday where you can't help but check your email. You know, but you're just like, yo, let me see what foolishness is happening in my email. And you go into your email to look for that foolishness, and you find foolishness. You know, you find these 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 emails are all things you got to do on Monday, or complaints, or whatever the case is, things that have been forwarded to you. And you know that you still have to walk into the building the next day and have your lesson plan and teach. You know, but same thing with administrators. You know that you already have 5 or 10 files you got to work on, But then you look at your emails on Sunday, you know, and all of a sudden, or Monday Eve, and then you're like, damn, can I not have like 20 more tasks to take care of with deadlines and everything else? And then you find yourself Monday morning, you know, hitting that snooze button. Not because, and I mean, part of it is because you're tired. Because remember, you couldn't go to sleep because you had them jitters and you were just thinking about all the things you got to deal with. So now you can't go to sleep. But then beyond the exhaustion of not being able to beyond the exhaustion from not sleeping, you're also mentally not wanting to get out of bed. Hoping that it's just a terrible nightmare that you just, if you keep your eyes closed long enough, you open your eyes and things are not, you know, stressful and demoralizing. How many of you have gone through that? I have. But not to keep things negative. You know, the other question is, how do you get out of it if you have gone through it? What do you do? Like, what is your practice? What is the things that you do to make sure that you are always in the best mind frame, in mind state, regardless of what's happening around you? And that's a challenge. That's an incredible challenge, you know, to figure out how to always be your best self in these situations. And for those of you who don't understand, working in a school building is not easy by any means. I've had the privilege of having worked K through 12 as an administrator. You know, my 1 year, you know, in Las Vegas, that was the one gift that I walked away from Las Vegas with, that I had actually spent time supervising teachers and being around kids pre-K through 5. I spent a lot of time with the pre-K students, you know, trying to understand what is it about these beautiful little children who are running around playing and imagination everywhere that results into the apathetic, withdrawn, you know, 11 and 12 graders that I would often come around and be like, man, but I've never walked in to a kindergarten class, at least not for me, or a pre-K class and see kids who are just like sunken in like and looking defeated and not wanting to engage the world. I've never seen that. So how do you go from that to being a disillusioned teenager or even worse, an adult? No, it's tough. But at the same time, I would say this, it's not impossible. Because please don't think that my career was just doom and gloom. Doom and gloom. I said groom, like a man who's about to be married. Doom and gloom, like gloomy. Forgive me. You know, I might sound very American, but the fact of the matter is that I'm a born Nigerian, so English is like American English is like my third language. But it wasn't all doom and gloom. If anything, the majority of my career was actually pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome. I did some incredible things. You know, I was part of making history in different spaces. You know, I've been fortunate to rub shoulders with very, very powerful people in education and be able to lend my voice in those spaces. You know, and it didn't require a 30-year career. It didn't require a 20-year career. Even though I did 17 years, but a lot of things that I did was in the first 10 years of my career because I was fully engaged with my school community. I was fully engaged in making sure that I was a contributing member of the schools that I worked at. And I've worked in 6 schools in my career, 17 years, 6 schools. And not because I was wanting to jump around from school to school. No, that's not why I was at 6 schools as an educator. I was in 6 schools because after my first school, every other school, I had a principal who asked about me. Or even a deputy superintendent who asked about me. because again, I was very conscious of making sure that that the work that I was doing was not just trapped behind closed doors. You know, I had a mentor who told me, like, if the work you're doing is not known by people around you, then you're not, it doesn't exist. And I was like, well, you can see my students work on a bulletin board. And he told me, nope, that doesn't count either. Because majority of the time, he said to me, how often do you walk down a hallway and you forget there are even bulletin boards in the hallway? And I was like, yeah, that's very true. But once I'm televisioned, I don't see anything else but whatever is in front of me. And this man told me, like, you know, you have to make sure the world sees what you're doing. You know, he says, when you go to PDs or professional development workshops, always speak. And if you have nothing to contribute, ask a question. Let your voice be heard. You know, be thoughtful. Don't waste those opportunities. You know? And that's something that I really harnessed to ensure that I had, you know, a good career. And yes, the principalship eluded me for a while. But while it was eluding me, I was doing other things. You know, yes, my principalship offer came and it was super lackluster. It was in a hallway. You know, after getting, I think I got the kids into fifth period or something like that. Then I was asked by the superintendent, hey, so do you think you're ready to be a principal? And I remember thinking to myself, are you serious? Like, you know, I've been running schools, you know, definitely at the pleasure of my principal or whoever my boss was at the time. But I was often in situations where my principal just was like hands off or was like, hey, Ucha can handle it. And that's what I did. So when the time came for me to lead, it wasn't a question of like, are you ready? For me, it was a question of like, when do I start? Or better yet, I've already started. You know, when am I allowed to switch the names on the website? You know, so everybody knows that I'm the one, that I'm the principal now. You know, and also, I mean, I was also afforded opportunities to be trained, but through excellent programs, you know, in developing my leadership. A lot of my colleagues that I came in with or that I've crossed paths with, I mean, I'm talking about cross path, not just like, hey, I know your face, but no, I know you. You know, we're friends. A lot of them now are superintendents and deputy superintendents and, you know, and have doctorates, you know. And that's been exciting to be part of it and to be in that space, to see my colleagues. It's something, listen, I'm telling you right now, it's something to be said. When you're standing with three or four of your friends and you're like, guys, do you remember when we were first year teachers? And we're all literally, because I came into New York City through the New York City Teaching Fellow Program, you know, which at the time was focused more towards people who are career changers coming to education. And a lot of those people from that group that I was with, it's interesting because I see them now, you know, or whenever I come across them, it's like, wow, you're a principal, you're a superintendent. Like, man, we walked in here just trying to survive, trying to figure out, like, what does it mean to be a teacher? And how do I get these kids to listen? And fast forward, you know, a lot of those people are principals and are holding, you know, positions of high regard and demand within the system. And I think it's amazing, you know. So, yeah, you know, I've had a good career. But at the same time, I also have to acknowledge the fact that I've been privileged because I came into leadership from the jump. Someone can say that I honed my skill sets around instruction out of necessity because I wanted to make sure that nobody would call me out for not being an instructional leader. So I literally built a library and of just books and audiobooks about different research and topics within instructional leadership so I can really strengthen myself. And I did that, you know. And the benefit of that also was the fact that my career, you know, blossomed. I was able to use that to really position myself in the right place, you know. But enough talk about myself. What about you? What about you? What is it? What has your career been like? What's been the highlights? What are the things that you know for a fact you're like, man, I didn't think I was going to be able to do this, but I, not only did I do it, I knocked it out of the park. No? There's so much that's good in this field. I apologize. I keep taking little pauses to drink some water. You got to stay hydrated. You know, that's one of the things, you know, I've been asked, like, man, how do you keep your skin so looking so youthful? I'm just kidding. But no, reality, you know, you got to stay hydrated. So I do drink a lot of water, you know, to make up for a very poor summer of not drinking a lot of water. But let me see here. I'm going to, so those of you who are watching and you're like, what is he doing? Or even those of you who are listening, it's funny because one of the things I want to do is be able to play some music, you know, so when I take a break from talking and I am still trying to figure out my technology over here. Here we go. Let me see if I got something going here. So, I'm going to play a song real quick. You know, give myself a little voice break here. This is, again, the song's called Better by, Semio. The name has to be Semio. It's called Better.
I believe what you truly desire. You can bring the past. All you need is a focus and a story to hold and the faith that you can achieve what's inside your soul.
Someday we'll make it on by. Other days we only can try. Either way, no matter what people say, either way, we're gonna get. Someday we'll make it on by.
Someday.
Other days we only can try. Either way, no matter what people say, either way, we're gonna get by.
Know that you can make it. Hold it tight, cause they will try to take it. Keep it close, cause they will try to shake it. But whatever you do, don't let them break it. Cause this moment's just a new chance to take into your own hands and shape the life you see inside your dreams. Oh,
someday we'll make it on by.
Someday.
If you're interested in joining me in the conversation, you have any questions for me, or you just want to say hello, go ahead and enter tinyurl.com/calltsp, and it will literally ring right into my computer over here, and it can pull you into a conversation. You don't have to have your camera on or even identify your name. But if you have a question or you just want to chop it up, you can be anonymous. I'm 100% fine with that. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher, if you're a principal, if you are support staff in a school. You know, I welcome a conversation with you.
Someday we only can try. Either train, no matter what people say. Either way,
we're gonna get
someday.
Ooh.
Days we only can try. Either way, we're gonna get by. Someday we'll make it on by. Other days we only can try.
we're gonna get better.
All right, guys, I'm back. And somebody was calling in, but it just hung up. So if you're calling in, you can call back again, and I'll get you on. And again, this evening, I want the question to you is, how are you doing? And even more so, what is it that you need therapy around as an educator? You know, what is it that you need therapy around? What is the thing that is that you feel like, oh, I just got to get this off my chest, you know? And I'm here to listen, you know? I'm a believer that I don't always have to give you an answer. Sometimes the best answer is to create space for people to just speak and talk and share. And here we go. How are you doing? And hello, hello, hello.
Hi, Mr. Njoku. How are you?
I'm doing good. And that's something good. What's going on here? Give me a quick second here.
Okay.
For whatever reason, I have a third. Huh, that's weird. And, huh. For whatever reason, there's a third screen on here. I don't know why there's a third screen.
Oh, okay. I guess,
yeah, but we ignore that. So how are you doing, Aislinn?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So talk to us.
So pretty much what you were saying about, you know, your whole career and, you know, how you were already in leadership, that's something that it really inspired me because, you know, I've seen that with you, you know, especially when you were at my school. And I just see that, you know, one of those traits that you've had in leadership has helped me to become an educator and to become a teacher. And also you were saying about like, there's some things that are frustrating us or that are upsetting us. And today something like really upset me and it got me frustrated, not because I was at work or anything. It was because I heard something on the news about this 7-year-old kid that he had a firearm. And I was like, what the hell? Like, how did this kid even get the firearm? And then they said that supposedly he's like very vulnerable and all this stuff. And I'm just like, you know, in my head, like the city council said that. And I was like, no, the kids are not vulnerable. The thing is that you don't know what's going on in the house. You don't know how these kids are getting these weapons, you know. And that's something that it's making us look bad as educators. Because like they said, oh, no, I don't know how this happened. And I don't know. And I'm just like, you should know, you know, there's many ways.
Yeah, that is very unfortunate because often that's a scary thing now these days as a teacher. But, you know, there was the shooting in recently in Kansas, was it like last week? I do apologize.
It was in Louisiana.
Okay. So, I'm still at the point where it's like, it could be anywhere at this point in time. And it's a scary thing because when you really think about it, I mean, we're talking about children here, you know, and even teachers, like, you know, teacher, imagine going to work and you have to be worried that, you know, a child could bring a gun to the school building. And we have parents out there guardians sometimes that are not responsible. You know, they leave things around and kids find it, you know. You know, I mean, if you're going to own a firearm, you're supposed to have a lockbox with a key that's not accessible. Or they have those now with the thumbprint. You could do a thumbprint so you're the only one who can open the box, you know. But if you leave things around that's accessible that a child could pick up, God forbid if it's loaded, you know. You know, they can hurt themselves or hurt someone else. And I'm sorry, I don't think a little child is intentionally trying to hurt someone. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. You know, like they say that that you can't worry, that it's not the weapon itself, it's the human being. So the human being who allowed that the weapon to be accessible, you know, that's a problem. That's a problem, and it's scary. It's scary. I'm saying this to those who listen. Can you imagine going to work and you have to worry about somebody might have a weapon that can kill you? Like how, like, you know, like how crazy is that? Especially in a school building. But again, this is a responsibility in of the adults. We got to do better. But children will only mimic what they see from us. So
I think it's more, we have to do more of is like asking them what's wrong. You know, like we have to ask them what is wrong with this, or, you know, you can even ask the child, like, you know, how was your day today, or how was in your, you know, in your house the night before? Did something happen? Was it bad? Was it good? You know, have like a personal session with the kids, like talk to them about it, because that's what we do. Especially in my old classroom, we would do that. Like we would talk to them and say to them, like, what was the good part about today? What was the bad part about today? You know, to make them feel better, but also to be aware and conscious about it, you know, and also they can know as educators what is going on, because, you know, especially like if it's a bad thing that's going on at home, it's good to be conscious and very aware. So then you can improve it in the classroom, but also at home. So then the parents don't have that problem either constantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, man, you're very right. You know, we have to do better at connecting with our students and making sure that we're talking to them and we're creating a space for them to feel comfortable in sharing. And that space has to be grounded in trust. You know, children, when a child trusts you, they'll tell you. They'll tell you the world, you know.
Yeah.
But we have to create that space, you know. And not only that, there has to be a strong family intervention plan, and all the time, making sure that without a doubt, you know, we are supporting families and doing better. You know, often we have families who are just struggling. They're just trying to make ends meet, you know, and you know, I often get when people, it does bother me sometimes when people say like, "Oh, it's the parents' fault," but society as a whole, you know, we've created spaces where, you know, where you know, like this kid has a gun.
I mean, the child too, and influence what's going on in general.
Yeah, very true. And it's not the child; it's the adult. You know,
that
child didn't go out and buy a gun. You can't. How old was the child? Is it 7 years old?
Yeah.
7 year old kid is not buying a gun.
Exactly.
The child is taking it from somewhere. Yeah. They found it somewhere. You know, they're not out there in the street saying, "Hey, mister, can I buy a gun for me?" It was probably in the house of a family member. Mm-hmm. And for that child, it probably looked like a toy or something they see on TV, you know. And then, God forbid, it was loaded, you know, because again, a lot of schools don't have metal detectors, especially elementary schools. So that kid walks into the building, guess what? You know, they're just doing it's like for them, it's like bringing the toy to school. You know, so we have to do better. I want to give a quick shout out to the lead attorney. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, brother. And salute to you too as well. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I know you said you saw this on the news, but like as a principal, especially in my last 3 years, 3 or 4 years, that was a constant worry for me. You know, I've actually taken a gun from a kid before. This was my third year in a DOE. I was a dean at a middle school in the Bronx, and a kid bought a gun in school. It was unloaded, but in his mind, it was like, I want to show my friends. You know, and that was scary because one of the other kids was the one who came and told me, like, "Hey, mister, check so-and-so's bag." And I was like, "For what?" They're like, "No, just check their bag." I'm like, what's in their bag? And then the kid told me, "I don't want to be a snitch." I'm like, "You're already telling me. You already told me something's in the bag." And this kid was like, "No, mister." And then the young man just didn't want to say it. But now it's brought to my attention. I spoke to the principal. We got school safety, got the kid, and they're like, "Hey, what's in your bag?" And the kid opened their bag and pulled out a gun, and I was like, "Whoa!" And everybody was like, "Oh," you know. And he put it on the table, and you know, we called P. Had to call PD and everything else. And mind you, the kid himself, in his mind, he was like, "I just wanted to show my friends," you know, and helping. He was like a seventh grader. but help him understand. Like, yeah. And to think about it now, seventh grade, he's old enough that he could be arrested. You know, and I'm not going to go into details of what happened to that young man, but, you know, we definitely get provided with my supports, families and everything else. You know, he's a good kid. But again, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do with his child brain, you know, and it's his parents who have to make sure that they're creating an environment for him to not do things like that, you know, mm-hmm. because that one decision could have ended. I mean, it's been years now. This was, oh my God, this was 2007, 2008, just many years ago. I can only pray that young man is doing well and, you know, successful, you know, in his own right. But again, it's one of those things where you got to be, you know, as parents, listen, if you're listening, parents, come on. You got to be careful. Everything you do, everything you leave around, you have to be very conscious about the fact that if you have children, they're literally going to mimic you. That's what kids do. My son right now, if I say A, he'd be like, A. He's like, he's trying to walk like me and talk like me. If I have a hat on, he wants his hat too. So if I have guns in the house, guess what he's going to want to do? He's going to want to have a gun too. But that's what daddy's doing, you know? So, you know, I pray for that young man, you know, 7 years old. That's a little baby. Yeah, that's a baby. Yeah. And I pray that it was not intended for harm, and it was just the mistake of the adults, and that's corrected, you know. Yeah. But yeah, that's unfortunate. That's super unfortunate.
It is.
Yeah. But thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. That's what I wanted to share really quickly because I thought that was important to touch upon.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
You know, I really enjoyed what you said about having that state of mind and not thinking about work on the weekends and stuff like that, because if you don't clear your mind and you're not organized in your head or also in your plans, it's not going to go the way that you want it. And also you're not going to have, you know, a straight point of how to work. So.
Yeah, you can't go 24 hours a day. I'm sorry, you can't go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I'll tell you this right now, I tried. I sincerely tried as an educator. And all I did was burn myself out every single time and make myself sick. So it's one of those things where, yeah, you know, even beyond the weekend, you have to take care of yourself. Find what is that thing that really allows you to connect with your source, you know? So whether regardless of what your religion is or what your belief is, you have to disconnect from what's considered normal, you know, and meditate and pray and be in nature and let work be work, so that when you return to work, you're re-energized, you know. You can't be on all the time. And some people do it. I did it for a number of years, but I was just on all the time. But then I woke up one day and I was 350 pounds. Because I wasn't healthy and I was pre-diabetic and had all these high blood pressure and everything else, because I didn't give myself the space to really be healthy. So, but Aislinn, thank you so much. You know, you're again, welcome. My regards to your family.
Always a pleasure.
All right, definitely. Have a good night, all right?
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. So, but again, yeah, you gotta be healthy. You gotta create that space. And that last thing that Aislinn said is something that I'm a huge proponent of. What are you doing to ensure that you are your healthiest self? That you are always prioritizing your well-being. You know, yes. I am not a therapist by any means, not even close to one. I don't even play one on TV. What's going on here? Yeah, I think I'm still doing it watching right now. I use Ecamm Live, and I don't know why it's showing this blank screen over here. Here we go. So like I said, I'm not a therapist. I don't even play one on TV. But I know therapeutic. You know, and I think it's very therapeutic to have to talk things out, to let things out, you know, especially in this space with educators. Listen, we are going through one of the largest what's the right term for it? People are quitting. People are just throwing their hands up and walking from education. And I know I don't want to sound hypocritical because I walked away, you know, but I walked away after 17 years. I walked away after, you know, leading two schools and now saying, okay, I want to do something different. And what am I still doing? I'm still in education. You know, the company I work for, you know, practice, we're still serving children. At this point, 35,000 students in New York City so far, you know, and again, that's me still leaning into what I love, which is education. I just knew that I was done doing it that way, you know, in the public school setting, but I still serve public schools, you know, and a big part of it for me, like I shared earlier, was just knowing that it was time for me to move into a different space. But again, those of you who are still in it and still doing it, much love, much respect. And we need that, you know, we need that, you know, because our children need that. But it's very important that you are taking care of yourself. You know, that you're taking care of yourself. And if it's time for you to step away, then you step away. You know, and so, and maybe it might be for a little while. Maybe it might just be like, you know what? I've done my due. You know, listen, I've walked away from two schools as principal. The first one, I walked away and I was proud and happy to walk away because my assistant principal, who I also consider a sister to me, became the principal. So me stepping away made room for her to step up and lead. And her school just doubled in size and they're doing really well. And again, that is the opportunity that was created by me moving into another space. Because even for me to become a principal, somebody had to move out of that space for me to become a principal. So I think it's very important that the life beat of a school involves change and upgrade of leadership and the bringing in of new ideas and ways of doing things. And then my last school, which is a high school, walking away, those of you, I've shared that I was a Khan Fellow, which is a fellowship. It's a program for distinguished principals nationwide. So I was in their last cohort, and my assistant principal was my ally. Because the way it works, you have a fellow and an ally. Someone that believe that has the capacity to lead one day. So they go through professional development and supports themselves to develop their leadership. So in my departure as principal in Brooklyn, my ally, he's now the principal. And so we presented at the annual conference conference for the Khan Fellows. We did some research and I posted the report on LinkedIn. So if you're interested, you know, just go to Uchain Joku on LinkedIn. You can find the report that we did, and also the presentation. I think the video is on LinkedIn as well. And I was so proud to officially announce like he's now the new principal, you know, because I was able to make room for him to step into that role, just like somebody made room for me. But even with that, you know, you gotta take care of yourself. You really have to take care of yourself. So. Yeah, it is about to be 10:59. It is 10:59, so it's about to be 11 o'clock, and I am going to, you know, wrap it up and head into my evening space and get some shut eye. But thank you again for those of you who are here and joining me in this conversation, and. Do know that I am here 3 times a week on Sundays at 10 p.m., Wednesdays at 10 p.m., and then, of course, Fridays at 10 p.m. On Sundays, 10 p.m., I just like to come on and just talk news. What's happening in the news? What's happening in education? And just kind of have a free flow conversation about, you know, what is America paying attention to? What is the world paying attention to in education right now? And again, it's always all a call-in situation, so you can call in and join me in a conversation. And I welcome you to join me in sharing what you're seeing and your thoughts as well. That's something that's very, very important to me. And then, of course, also on Wednesday is my favorite time. I get to spend some good quality time with my brother, Archie Tyson. We were both graduates of Columbia University. He's actually doing his doctorate now there. And we have what I call, what we call, I always laugh when I said, we have dubbed our show the Ivy League Hood Rats. And this is a space where we just, two brothers, two men who have been educated. We've been deans, we've been teachers, we've been administrators. And now we're both in the private sector working in educational technology. And in our spaces, we have very unique perspectives of what's happening in the world as veterans who've been, we've seen it all. So we talk about everything. This past week, we talked about Kanye, and Archie gave a very, very poignant perspective of what's happening there and gave me a lot of pause. You see that episode? I didn't talk much. I just was like, wow. I was doing a lot of thinking and a great episode. So if you have a chance, definitely go check that out. But definitely on Wednesday, we're on at 10 o'clock for that purpose of the Ivy League Hood Rats. Then, of course, Fridays, 10 p.m., Teacher Therapy Fridays. And I'm asking, if you come across this, and you're a teacher, an educator, you're a parent, even if you're a student, jump on. Make sure you get your parents' permission. You know, you got to be, of age. You know, but I'm welcome to hear from you and hear what you need therapy around. You know, again, I'm not a therapist, but what do you need? What do you need a therapeutic conversation around? That's the key, a therapeutic conversation. Because again, we hold so much stuff in. And I think as a principal and as an educator for 17 years, I have a perspective and the ability to listen. And hopefully my listening helps in that space. Yeah, that's it. Do me a favor, like, share, subscribe. Keep coming back, 10 p.m. On Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And if you appreciate any of the work we're doing here, that I'm doing here, please, go to Patreon/DistinguishedPrincipal, and you can support the show financially. I really appreciate that. But I'll be honest with you, the best support that I can get is just to see people who are listening and commenting and hopefully letting me know if any of this resonates with you. That'll be greatly appreciated. And with that being said, thank you so much. Have an amazing, amazing evening. And till next time. Growing up, had enough of chasing down the sun, but suddenly I can see everything evergreen. And now he's been promoted. His job, principal.